at Voices Radio Network.
Blood, sweat, and gears for informational and educational purposes only. Kids, don't try any of this at home.
My titties will get fat.
But counting on support is like you're counting on a rose.
Welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. This program is brought to you by True Nutrition. You can use our code ADVICES. Huge shout out to Large Extra Large for our new theme music. I'm Scott McNally, and with me, as always, the man with the plan. What's up, Skip Hill?
The ADVICES code, that's a lot of typing. I'm just saying, if you're exhausted and you're like, oh my God, like I don't want to type that much, if you just type Skip, I know that Scott wouldn't be too happy about that. I've seen my commissions go down. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not paid either way. But nonetheless, I guess advice is, what is that? Four more? It's off the top of my head.
Let's see. I think, is it two more? Two more letters? It is a lot more.
Two more.
Yeah, a lot more letters, though. It is.
See, that's how much I know. Fatigue. I'm just saying.
You want to save people.
Fatigue, yes. Yeah. You just got done training back. You're
cramping.
Wrists hurt. Yeah, your forearm is cramping. You're pecking away with one finger. Just go with Skip. I'm good over here.
Hey, listen, on that note, too, I'll tell you. So I don't get like any kind of free supplements. They sponsor the show. So I get a little bit of money in order to talk about them. But, before that and even now, I've been using Team Skip literally like every day. That's my favorite blend. That's like my go-to protein. I'll use that usually not post-workout, but there's always like one point in the day where I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do a meal. I'm going to do a shake. And I've got a big old bag of the Team Skip. Is it strawberry sorbet, I believe, is the flavor. I love that stuff, man.
You know, here's the thing with strawberry. I'm not going to say it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
I have transference issues, okay?
Okay.
From the days of when, you know, dynamic muscle builder, Joe Weider, and you got to be old to know this, but you had to open the fucking thing can with like a can opener. I always got strawberry, and it was just horrible. So anytime I have strawberry now, if I mix it with something, I'm like, oh, this is really good. If I have strawberry by itself, I have flashbacks of being a teenager and having that crappy Weider protein, and I just can't get it. I can't get it out of my – I can't – it's like at the end of Rambo, first book. I can't get it out of my head.
Oh, my God. I love it, though, and I like the blend. That's been around – like since I got into message boards and stuff. How long ago did you come up with that blend?
Oh shit. I've been asked this before. And I don't know exactly. I'm thinking let's see, Intense Muscle started in 2004. We just had our 15 year birthday. Two people celebrated, 'cause that's how many people are left on the board outside of my clients. You know, there's a ton of information there. Don't get me wrong, but yeah. There's no traffic. I would have to say that it's in the 12 or 13, because it was only a couple years into Intense Muscle. So it's probably been 13 years or so. You know, I was flattered when I did Carl Lenore's show last week, and he said he had always used my protein too, and was like, you know, I asked Dante, he's like, who is this guy? I've never heard of him. He's like, oh. So he, you know, saying it was nice to meet. And I told him the same thing, obviously, when, you know, at the Arnold and stuff for the first time, because I'd never met him before. But anyway, a lot of Shelby, I guess Shelby has used it for years and years. I get the one. I think it's an odd question, but I still get this question, though, from time to time, a couple times a month, three times a month. And I'll just get DM'd or something, and they'll say, hey, I know your Team Skip protein is a blend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can I still use it post-workout? And it does kind of make me laugh, because to me, that's a very – it's kind of antiquated. It's like, oh, my God, there are still people who out there will insist on, like, oh, my God, you know what? I can only use whey because
– whey isolate.
Yeah, it's got to be super fast. And I tell them, I'm like, you know, a lot of these top guys, not just competitors, but prep guys, they have their clients use my protein different times during the day. You know, it's like splitting hairs, really.
Yeah.
You know, if you're looking at it on paper, okay, it's a little bit, it might be a little faster, and you get these different, these three different proteins. Right. So it's kind of, I always say it's fast, medium, and slow. And, you know, that's kind of the benefit. So not only that, but it tastes really good. It has a very good, consistency. It's not, I hate to say thick, because some people go, oh, I don't know about that. But it has a good, how do you describe it?
It is like a little bit harder than, say, an isolate versus, especially like True Nutrition isolate. That's the go-to when I'm trying to get as ripped as possible. I feel like it's going to pass through my body and I'm going to be starving again in 5 minutes.
Right.
What I like is that it does have like a little bit more of a hardiness to it. So I know it's sitting with me a little longer. Plus there's that mental thing where because I know the science and I know that this, you know, like you said, fast acting, medium acting and slower acting protein. If I'm going to use it as a meal replacement, I know it's going to carry me for a while. I like it for that reason. And I don't seem to get as much, like if I do an isolate and then I'm going to not eat for another 2.5 hours, there's a good chance that I'm going to get some sort of a blood sugar crash in there if I'm not using anything else with it.
Right,
so
exactly.
I like that. I never get any kind of like blood sugar inconsistencies. And it feels more like it sets with me more like a meal. So I like it for those reasons. Plus dude, I'm not a big eater. So for me, it's a bonus because I take 2 scoops of that and boom, there's, you know, 50 more grams of protein in my life that day. I'm less likely to shrink as quickly is what
well,
it comes
and I
down
think
to.
Too, equally as important is you're just really cool. I mean, all the cool kids use Team Skip blood and protein. So I think that's an important thing too. It's a status thing.
That was a given. So what's up, man? You know, for anybody who's tuning in for the first time, it's usually 3 of us. We have S2H, who's not here with us. He had some personal stuff he had to deal with, so we're giving him a pass. We give him a lot of shit, but he's been very consistent, Skip. Have you noticed that lately? He's really been on the ball.
Yeah, he's been showing up, you know, out of contractual obligation, I think. Every now and then, it's funny, I'll get like a message on Instagram or something, and somebody will say like, oh, I just love your show, and it is, you know, you guys are so funny, and S2H is so funny, and I'm like, no, he's not.
No.
And I'll like respond, like, whatever, he's not funny. That's not his job on the show. He's there to provide dry, very articulate, and educated information, but just dry. He's not on the show to be funny. And then they always come back, and they're like, oh, that's so funny. And I'm like, oh, man, funny. He's not funny, okay? Anyway, yeah, I'm not going to give him any shit today because I know that. See, I'm one of those laugh or cry guys. Like, I'm going to find humor in anything.
Yeah.
But I know the reason he's not here today, and I don't want anybody to think anything bad. It's not like a death in the family, anything else. But at the same time, I can't really find any humor in this, so I'm not going to bust his balls for this one because I'd probably be a little irritated, and pissed off too. So he's just getting some shit straight. But yeah, he's been very consistent lately.
Yeah, that's the way I would put it too. If shit like that happened to me, I would be irritated. And unfortunately, it happened at a point where it's like life stuff came up and now he has to deal with it. So, we've got Skip Hill. So normally it's S2H, Skip Hill, and myself. Skip, you've been coaching for how many years now? What's the rough number?
3 years.
And in that time, you've dieted 17 people and 7 of them actually made it to the show. And one guy actually got an overall, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But the more important thing is my 17 clients have done better than I have done on stage. So that's the most important thing. No, I've been, 2000, online anyway, 2002.
Okay.
So, you know, it's funny because I heard this the other day and I shouldn't even say this because it sounds very arrogant and I get it. So I'm going to apologize ahead of time, but I have to say it anyway. You know, I see these guys who, you know, will say on their header on Instagram, oh, you know, been training people for 25 years at high level. And I'm like, I don't even know your name. Like, how can that even be possible?
Yeah.
Like, who are you? Now, I understand that I'm not a household name in bodybuilding either. And it could be argued that this next generation coming in, you know, less of them know about me too because they didn't deal with me, you know, with the message boards or Intense Muscle. I get that. But when it happens time and time again that I read these things and, oh, I've been training people high level and been doing prep for 25 years and they're my age, I'm like, I just don't even know. Mm. Like, who are you? And I can't help but think, and this is kind of the arrogant part, I get it, I think you're lying. Mm. I think you're counting like the first guy in the gym who came up to you and asked you a question.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's very fair. And I'm going to go on to say, I'm not going to mention any names because I don't do that anymore. I don't bash people. I don't call them out. I don't, you know, put them on the fucking whatever it was called. The cool thing was that I don't even know what the fuck it's called. But to basically put them on the spot. But there are some top guys who pull this same shit too. And I think to myself, no one knew who you are when I was in my peak, when I was prepping people. So you were training like two or three people. I don't know. Can you claim that? I don't know. Maybe you can. That could be like an hour-long segment of the show. What do you call prepping people? Is it prepping two of your friends for free and saying, oh, yeah, I did that for 5 years, so I've been prepping people for 5 years? It's kind of
That's a good point.
Misleading. It's kind of like, I don't know. But to answer your question, 2002, I started, I started prepping people on basically muscle chemistry. I hate to say that name because we had so many problems.
Oh, wait a second, because I'm still trying to introduce the show, Skip.
Oh,
just trying to introduce the show, man. I just want people to know who they're listening to. That's all. That's all. No, seriously, I just wanted people to know for real, though, in case you're tuning in for the first time, we got Skip Hill. You're a guy who has a lot of experience, and whether people knew of you or not, I mean, I feel like I've known you of you for since I got into bodybuilding, but nonetheless, that's what we're here to do is answer questions and help people out. I'm glad we could turn to you. I think you make a great point too, though, man, because there's a guy who's in my gym who he's always gone up to my clients and he said, you shouldn't work with Scott. You should work with somebody better. You deserve someone better. You should work with me. That's what he always says. And this guy has dieted himself. He's dieted about three other people that I know of. And how can you say that you have an education when you haven't seen all the different variabilities that can happen, right? Like what you're saying is you've had a wide array of body types that you've worked with, right?
Well, I think that's what happens. I think that's the most important thing when it comes to experience. I mean, if you train 1,000 people, but everything goes right every time, then how good are you? If you're an airline pilot and you fly and you don't have to deal with, you know, alarms and things that could, you know, potentially be catastrophic. How good of a autopilot are you? But if you've been flying for so long and you can land a plane on the fucking Hudson, bitch, you are at the top of your game.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
If you have taught other people how to fly planes to be able to deal with shit like that, and they become top pilots in their industry, then I think that says something about it's things like that. So your situation there, I can understand why people do it because it's kind of desperation. They have absolutely nothing to lose. Like, it's kind of like the guy going up to the girl and throwing a shitty line or whatever, and she laughs at him, and he walks away literally thinking, well, nothing ventured, nothing lost. Like, okay, if I didn't say anything, I wasn't going to get any ass anyway. That's kind of the approach. It's almost just throwing it out there and reeling it in and seeing if there's anything on the fucking hook.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, I'm good with things like that. Metaphor. I'm a metaphor guy.
So we had some weird off topic stuff. First of all, you know, we talked about the Arnold last episode. We got into a conversation about blue jeans. I wanted to go there.
You need to go there because I'm telling you right now, that girl you're talking to, I don't even know her name. I'm not going to mention her name, but not on the same page.
So here's the thing. So I have this pair of jeans that I owned just like 3-4 years, maybe. I don't know, but I never wear jeans because I never go out to a place where I need jeans. You don't wear jeans at the gym. You don't need jeans at the grocery store. Those are really the only two places that I ever go. If I go to a show as an audience member, I might like get dressed up and put on the jeans. So these jeans were like, they were over $100, first of all, Skip. And they have like that new, have you noticed the new material? It's kind of like elastic almost.
Yeah, no, I think I've heard about, it's kind of like it's stretchy.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the skinny jean type thing too. It's kind of a stretchy material. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, these weren't skinny jeans, but nonetheless, nonetheless,
sorry, I had something in my throat there. Go ahead.
So I said something and I was like, well, like as long as they're not the ones that have like the stuff, like the embroidery on the pockets and the stitching down the sides. And I was I thought to myself, I didn't say anything. I was just like, oh. So it turns out that's not cool. At least that's what one person, I think I already said her name. That's what one person says.
Yeah, I just about knocked my mic across the room. I'm sure you I'm sure you heard that. I apologize.
But we're I thought that was for dramatic effect. You like threw
No, I was trying to basically, if I'm being honest, I was gonna mute it and cough. Oh. But anyway, didn't get that far. No, here's I don't want to mention her name because I know this way you can edit her name out earlier. I don't know if she, I'm not sure if she's right or not. I hope she's not right. And I'll tell you, because I'm in a similar position as you. I've only had four or five pair of jeans for not even 2 years.
Okay.
Okay. Bought them at the Buckle. And here's the thing. I know people are thinking, oh shit, 49-year-old Skip is shopping at the Buckle.
That's where I got mine too.
Like, what the fuck are these guys thinking? They're way too old. They need to be wearing Levi's or something. Okay. But here, excuse me, here's my thinking. Number one, and I want to hear, honestly, and I think you do too. I want to hear from the listeners on this. And I'm totally, if someone wants to just rip me to shreds and be like, dude, you're fucking old. Just wait. I'll be like, you know, you're right. Okay. I get it. I want to hear this from the listeners. I look at it this way, and this is how I justify it. I'm 49, but I'm in shape.
Right.
I'm not going to put these jeans on and have this like massive belly hanging over the top with skinny legs and
right.
and shit like that. So I'm also not going out necessarily dressed to be like hot or whatever. But I do want to be able to – I don't want somebody to look at me and say, oh, man, he's got fucking old guy jeans on. I'd almost rather someone said – oh shit, look at the old guy. He's wearing douchey jeans that went out of style a year ago.
Yeah, nice I think job. I'm with you. I think yeah. I'm with you. Yeah.
That's where I'm going to err. I'm going to err on that side. But here's my argument with the stitching. First, because I came back to you, remember, and I sent you a picture of my pockets like 3 days ago. And I was like, I think I'm good because there's not bling. It's not shiny. It's not fucking blinged out.
Now, why is that not? We already covered. Now, that was a discussion we had walking around the expo about the bling. So we've learned from your daughters, this is where we're getting some of our intel, that the bling is not good anymore.
No, the bling is not good. I bought a Chicago Cubs t-shirt that I thought was innocuous enough, like it didn't have to pass a fashion trend test to be worn, and that little bitch wouldn't wear that shirt to school. She wouldn't, she's 14. She's a freshman.
That little bitch.
Yeah, she's a little bitch. So I'm, it's this awesome Chicago Cubs. I bought it when I was in Chicago.
Yeah.
Obviously. And it's really fun, cool, but it's like Chicago Cubs and stuff, world champions, like spelled out with like, not diamonds, but like, you know, it's shiny. So in the sun, it would be all blinged out, right? And I'm like, what do you mean you won't? She's like, I'll wear it. You know, if we go somewhere, I'm like, what do you mean go somewhere? Like, well, if I go somewhere with you and mom. So I'm thinking, okay, that's not bitchy. Because then she's kind of being like, okay, my dad got this for me. And I really love my dad. I don't want to hurt his feelings. So I'll wear it.
Right.
I'll be goddamned. I'm going to wear this to school and be vilified and be punched in my face because I'm wearing a blinged out, uncool shirt.
Dude, so, I have no idea.
I know. And it's funny. Because when I bought it, my wife was on the other side of the store, and I took it up, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm getting Goose a shirt. She's like, oh, she won't wear that.
Really? She knew. She knew.
She knew. She knew. And I looked at her, and I don't know if you know what it's like to be married for 25, 26 years. You know, my wife's cool as fuck.
No, not quite.
Cool as fuck. But when she says something to me, much like me saying something to her, there becomes this spite thing, like, oh, really? Yeah, we'll see who she likes better. Because I'm thinking to myself, I'll just tell her dad bought it for you. She'll be like, oh, yeah, I love you, Dad. Thanks. Yeah. And she'll wear it, and, you know, she'll, like, sleep in it, and it'll be like her safety blanket. And that is not what happened. She did not like that fucking shirt, and my wife knew it. I'm thinking, bitch, how do you know what's cool and what's not in fucking high school? So we did establish that the bling, though, is not cool. And things like, see, my jeans are like Rock Revival, okay? Everybody can vilify me for that or whatever. But I figured those are the cool. They're very expensive. They're nice. They were being sold at Buckle when I bought them. I haven't even had them 2 years. So I'm thinking to myself, how can I buy something at the Buckle not even 2 years ago?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, not cool.
Yeah.
I don't. Now, I do understand that, like, in bodybuilding, you know, I've always said, like, you know, you have douchey shirts, you have douchey jeans, and Rock Revival and these type of jeans certainly qualify as douchey jeans. Okay. I totally get it. But I was going to a bodybuilding show, which is basically douche capital of the world.
You're with our people.
You know? Exactly. Like our fucking douche patrol at the Arnold. So I'm like, everybody else is going to be a douche. So I'm going to fit in.
Yeah.
I know I'm gonna be a little older. I'll be the oldest douche in the douche group.
But the tannest, too.
Yeah, exactly. And, well, there's VJ. But
I think you're tanner than him.
Thank you. I thought so, too. Anyway, he's better looking. I'll give him that.
You're more jacked, though.
He's not going to want to hear that. Plus, I don't want to go up against his shoulder-to-waist ratio ever.
He's got that down, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. I don't even want to. No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm old. We'll just leave it at that. I'm old, so it won't fucking matter. Now, I get there, and you guys are. First, we have VJ dressed like fucking Paul Bunyan. I don't – carrying a cable in his hand, which made it even worse. I think you went through that the last show where we thought he fucking worked there.
Yeah, yeah.
You – basically, you and I, and then Sarah, of course, she looked great. But she's not going to wear – you know, I didn't think she would show up wearing jeans. She had, like, a longer skirt and boots and stuff like that. So I'm thinking, who else was with us?
Yeah.
Were you and I. You and I are looking like the only two fucking douches in the group. I was looking more douchey than you because I had the stitching down the side. I don't even think you had that.
No, no. So I went out and I actually found some new jeans. I wanted something new anyway, but the jeans I got are pretty plain now. They're just like, they look plain. There's not much you could, the cut is like a little bit more straight leg, not even straight leg, I don't want to say skinny jeans, but they are more fitted nowadays. That's the thing.
Yeah, they are. Like,
the old ones I had, when I went to Buckle, the only thing I could get into was like, they were like a boot cut because it was like a wider leg and they only had like a couple styles. Outside of that, the jeans just weren't going to work for me. So yeah, my old jeans, I only wore them like 5 times. They're still in my closet. I was told to burn them, but I don't think they look that bad.
See, that's what I'm saying. And I, like I said before, and I'm going to stand by this. I want to err on the side of, okay, I'm a year out of the latest style.
Yeah.
And still, you know, look good. People go, okay, you know, he's in good shape. They fit. He's not like he's wearing them and he doesn't, they don't fit well or they're not right. Versus wearing fucking old guy jeans. And you know this, and the listeners know this. You can look at an old mother, and I'm going to say old motherfucker because you can look at a motherfucker my age that doesn't work out, and you know immediately that he's had those fucking pair of jeans for 30 years.
Yeah.
It's the same, and half the time he's wearing fucking white New Balances with him.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. I don't wear white New Balance. I constantly question, and it's funny because I didn't question myself with the jeans very much, but I question myself with gym shoes. I'm like, I'll ask my wife, or I even ask somebody in the fucking gym, I'm like, do you think these shoes are like old guy shoes? And they'll fucking laugh. And I'm like, no, it's a legit question. Like, if you're laughing because it's true, just say it's true. Or I'll see somebody wear, this happened the other day. Someone was wearing these Nikes, the same fucking Nikes that I bought only like a year ago. And I was really questioning that they were like dad shoes.
Okay. Okay.
And I saw him wearing them. And I'm not kidding. When I saw it, I was like, oh, thank God. Because I'm like, there's no way he'd be wearing them if they were old guys. Because he wasn't old.
Okay. He was like a younger, cooler guy.
Right.
So wearing your shoes.
So I'm like, okay, good. I'm good for at least another 8-9 months, maybe. Yeah. And I'll have to check again.
Well, I guess the verdict's still out. We'll have to wait and hear from the listeners and see what they say. My jeans, the new ones, are by Calvin Klein. They do have the elastic to them, Skip, which I'm telling you, man, they're just as comfortable as wearing sweats. It's really nice.
Here's what I'm going to think. Because my kids said that, and my kids are brutal. They will fucking tell me and laugh and be like, oh my God, like, Dad, you can't wear that shit. And they said, no, they're not out of style.
Okay.
They're not, they say they're not out of style. What I'm thinking is this. And again, I'm asking, you know, the listeners for feedback on this. I think what has happened is they've become, especially in our industry and our field and the type of people that we hang out with, I think they've become so douchey now that they're not accepted in that sense. But I don't think in the greater picture, I don't think Buckle would sell something that's not trendy or not popular.
That's a good point.
I do. I really think that it's It's either a combination of it's just plain douchey across all age demographics, or maybe it's just really, really douchey now for people who are older. And if that's the case, like I said, I don't want, hey, I'll buy different jeans. I'll buy fucking Calvin Klein or whatever if they're, you know, more subtle or whatever else, you know, that sort of thing. But I was sending you pictures of the pockets. I was like, there's no bling on them. It's just stitching. It's not like it's.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And what did Andrea Watson say?
Apparently, she said, burn them. And I'm not going to say how I responded to you. And I don't want Andrea to know either.
I think I screen capped it for her.
Nice.
She listens to the show. She gets your humor. So, listen, though, I will say this. I feel like overall, Skip, you're getting more in touch with what's going on out there, because you lived in Colorado since I knew you, and now you're down there in Florida, and basically I don't know what's happened, but I feel like you're coming out of your shell a little bit. You were down at the Arnold. You did a seminar not too long ago. You're telling me you might be going to Junior Nationals. What's going on here, man? You're actually like you're blooming.
Yeah, I think apparently I talked to my wife about a lot of shit this weekend, but we were talking about that training too and the things that I want to do differently. And I'm looking to even potentially get into getting out of the house to get into a little bit more personal training one-on-one, because I'm 4 minutes from a gym and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, really what it is the change is very simply put, just that I got burned out last year and cut my client base back considerably to just kind of take a break for a few months. And that turned into almost a year, just because I was like, wow, this is cool. We just moved, you know, I'm trying to adjust and I'm just liking the fact that stress was low. And then I had those problems with the prep that pulled me out of the gym completely. Basically, I think now in hindsight, that was a blessing, because I was just fried from both ends. I was fried from the business side and I was fried from the personal side, because I almost felt like the things that I've been doing for the last couple of years are more out of obligation than me really wanting to do them. So when I came back, and I didn't realize this until literally like the last few weeks of putting it together and processing everything, I think what happens when I came back and got back into, and I don't feel so overwhelmed and like it's consuming my life, I'm really enjoying the process, and I'm enjoying training, and I'm enjoying bodybuilding. I'm enjoying the people in bodybuilding. I'm not so negative. I'm not so cynical. And even like you said, to get out to the Arnold and things like that and have such a good time. And yeah, I remember telling my wife, I'm like, yeah, I'm on the phone. And I'm like, I knew I'd have a good time, but I'm having far more of a good time than I anticipated.
That's so cool.
And she just thought that was odd, because she fully expected to hear me say, oh my God, you know, get me home. Holy fuck. Because that's what I would have been saying 3 years ago. And I have to say this too, because I don't want anybody to think, oh, you know, and I get this sometimes. Well, you're just not passionate about it. You're not, you know, blah, blah, blah. The only people who really say that and don't understand haven't been around the industry and consumed by the industry anywhere near the amount of time that I have. You have to understand, I've not only been working online for coming up on 20 years and been kind of immersed in bodybuilding, but I've been training for 35 years. I mean, it's just a long time to not have these ups and downs, even just a couple of these ups and downs over the years. It would be silly to think that wouldn't happen. So, you know, the few people that have questioned me about passion or anything else, you know, if you've been in it for 5 years or so, or you're pushing 8 or 9, that's just not that long relative to over 3 fucking decades of doing this. You're just going to have those, you know, it's going to ebb and flow. There are going to be peaks and valleys. And I think that last year was just one of those downtimes where I was just really, really fried on it. And I'm not now. Whether it's the move down here, you know, I don't want to overprocess it either.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if it's the move down here that has helped to refresh everything. I don't really know. I don't know if it's my wife coming back around and, you know, we're training together now and she's in a different place and things are going, you know, well, because she had missed the kids and was really in a bad place, you know, last 6 months of last year, dealing with the kids not being here, not being around the kids, things like that. And Yeah, there's a lot of things at play, and people know that. The listeners know that.
Yeah.
The things that the listeners are dealing with their things. There's so many different variables that even when you can process and say, okay, yeah, it's probably this and this is probably playing into it the most. There are still 5-7 other things that are impacting indirectly those couple things that are at the top of your list. So there's just a lot there, and I think I'm just really loving things a lot more, including being down here, but – you know, the gyms, the training.
Well, I can see it. I can say that since I've known you, this seems like it's the most turned on you've been to bodybuilding.
Honestly. I've heard other people say that too. So I'm flattered to see that, you know, that other people see it as well. It does make me wonder though, to be honest, looking back, it's kind of like when you give, you know, someone's lost weight and you give them that, you know, a woman's lost weight and you go, oh, you know, you look great, you lost weight. And then immediately they go to, oh, gee, so I was fat before. I have to wonder what then did people think within the last couple of years when I was incredibly cynical and I wasn't, and this is completely really without knowing it, but wasn't enjoying the process as much. It was well on my way to being burned out that, you know, how was I coming across? Was I coming across more cynical and negative? And did that tend to push people away or give them, you know, he's kind of, I don't know, he's not very positive and, you know, he's snarky all the time. I mean, look, if I was dealing with someone who wasn't very positive all the time and was snarky and underhanded comments or grumbling all the time, I don't know if I'd want to hang out with them or listen to them. So there's that. I wonder, and I'm not going to know the answer to that, but it does make me wonder.
Yeah. And I wouldn't overthink it too much. I do want to mention, what was it? Superhuman Radio 2,314 Sitting Down with Skip Hill. You mentioned that at the beginning of the show. I listened to that on my drive back from Canada all the way through from end to end. That was a cool story. It was a lot of stuff I already knew about you because we've talked so many times. I've listened to all your shows even before Blood, Sweat, and Gear. But there were little bits, little pieces in there that I hadn't caught before. And you got to throw in the term smashing dimes, which Carl loved. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I worked that into an Elite FTS article too, and I was so proud of myself. Yeah, I don't. I think because a couple people laughed at it. That's the thing. As soon as you pay attention to something I say, then I'm going to be like, oh yeah, okay, so I'm going to play with this a little bit. You know what? Doing the show with Carl. Obviously I don't know him very well. I just met him, you know, at the Arnold. I had heard the name, you know, before. So I knew he was well respected and he had been, you know, in the industry for a long time. But it was funny because he's one of those guys that as soon as I was speaking to him, we just kind of clicked. I don't know if because we're both older or what, I don't really know. Which is funny too, because I think he's in his 60s.
Yeah, he's much older. He's older than you.
Yeah, but I mean he acts so friggin' young. I mean I wouldn't know talking to him that he was in his 60s.
I think his jeans were probably cooler than our jeans. I didn't notice, but I'm just guessing. You
know? It's probably a safe, but not only that, but and his jeans are better than our jeans. G-N-E-S. Because if I, seriously, I mean, I hope to God, I always see people who are older than me and they're in really good shape and they're good looking and they look healthy. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't believe in God. I almost said please God, but I just really hope that, you know, as I age, that I age as gracefully as some of these people, because I mean, that's just, I see people who are my age now. It's like they've thrown up their hands and given up. Yeah. And I have to say, Mr. Linus.
Is that who that is back there?
Yes. He will not be quiet. All of a sudden he's just walking around here talking like, who are you talking to? And why are you not paying attention to me? So and it's funny because I never leave the door open, but I'm like, you know, they're going to want to come in and out. They never make any noise during the day, but then he's just got to be rattling off now all of a sudden talking. So I apologize.
Well, no need to apologize. This is Blood, Sweat, and Cats after all. So, but yeah, that was fun, man. That was a good episode.
Yeah. I'm glad you liked it. I didn't know what his reach was, you know, as far as Superhuman Radio. I just didn't know if it was a big show. I assumed it was because he's done so many, you know, podcast, but I had fun with it. The video I'm not a huge fan of because I don't do it that much. It's not like I don't like doing it, but when you don't do it, and people I don't think understand if they haven't done a podcast and they haven't done video what goes into both. It's a little bit more complicated, I think, than the average person would think, at least to do it well, to not speak over each other. Mm. But when it comes to video, you know, as long as I've been, you know, podcasting and we've been podcasting, and I don't know if you feel this way, Scott, or not, but talking to, like, when I, like right now, I can look around the room. Yeah. You know, I'm all over the fucking place, right?
I'm actually just texting the whole show.
Nothing. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Sending dick pics.
Yeah.
My wife, which I appreciate, but anyway, it's difficult because people think, okay, yeah, you probably have to stare at the camera, and that's probably, it's not just staring at the camera or the webcam or, you know, whatever, the dot on your fucking Mac.
Yeah.
What it is down only 5 or 6 inches is the screen of the person you're talking to.
Right.
And of course they have their mannerisms. They're moving their head. They're moving their hands. It's very distracting. And you see this constantly out of the corner of your eye, and you naturally want to look at the person you're talking to.
That's what I do. I'm not supposed to do that.
But it's, you know, technically you need to, you know, you're looking at the listener because, yeah. And the listener is the camera. So it's just kind of a bitch because sometimes you're staring at the camera and you almost feel like your eyes are going to cross because you're like, and so to try to make it natural, and you know, you look, but you look, you know, your eyes move a little bit, but they don't move too far away. You don't want to look up and away to the corner. There's a lot to it.
You know what? You've done over 100 podcasts of your own now. It's all been on audio minus the few that we did together video wise. I bet it's just the fact that you're not used to it yet. You know what I mean? Like if we were to do that every week, you would be desensitized to it. It wouldn't be a second thought, but it's different. Feels a little alien, you know? Oh, speaking of which, Carl gave me some technology. We should talk about this. He's given me the technology. If we wanted to, we could not only record this show, but we could have it available for live streaming while we're doing it. So people could go to advicesradio.com, click a button, and that they could listen to this like live as it's happening.
Well, and because we record at pretty much the same time all the time,
yeah,
we could do that, and the listeners would have that.
That's
consistency.
A good point. Yeah. That's a great point.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd have to go back and edit, you know, afterwards still. I could still do the edited version, but they could get the behind the scenes where we get our game plan together and then start the show. And
yeah,
you know, I could run some music.
All the racist comments that weren't edited out,
right?
You know, things like that.
They'd catch all that stuff. But we could, if you wanted to, it'd be an option.
Yeah, that's definitely thanks. Something to consider. Absolutely. Yeah,
thanks to Carl. He's just a nice dude. He's just giving us that technology for no cost to try it out. So, yeah. What do you say we take a quick break and come back and do some actual bodybuilding questions?
Sounds good.
All right, guys, we'll be back in just a minute. Hey guys, thanks for listening to Blood, Sweat, and Gear, and thank you to S2H and to Skip Hill. Guys, Team Skip has been synonymous with bodybuilding conditioning for the last 2 decades. From NFL players to pro bodybuilders to 40-something guys that just want to kill it in the gym and their shirt sleeves, if you have too much skin, call Skip. TeamSkip.com, because skin is overrated. Hey guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
Yo, no, yo. But I don't know shit.
I don't know shit.
No one knows shit.
No shit.
This is actually really inappropriate, but we animals. It's the only way we know to spit.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear with Skip Hill, No S2H. I'm Scott McNally. Skip, I got a question, a Miami question for you. How
nice.
What were you doing down there anyway?
This last weekend?
I saw some pictures from a gym you were training at, and that's actually what our question references. But yeah, what were you doing in Miami?
Well, I wasn't down there at a gym this weekend. I went down to Bee Bistro because I've been here for a year and I have not found a grand slam. I should use home run because if I say grand slam, people are going to think Denny's or something in reference to breakfast. But I haven't found a breakfast that's over the top like Snooze, like we had in Colorado. So I've been looking and I know they're there. I haven't been here long enough, you know, to find them. So we went down to Miami to this Bee Bistro place, and I got to tell you, it was easily the best breakfast and the best pancakes I've had in the last 14 months that we've been here. So just my wife and I, we went down. It was pretty much right downtown. Beautiful down there. Very expensive. But it was fun to just kind of get away. We also go to beaches there sometimes, depending. So there's just some nice – we'll go to baseball games there, stuff like that. So nice. We were just down there for breakfast. That's the only reason we were down there this weekend.
Okay. Well, this references to your previous trip. Make sure to ask Skip if he thought Miami Iron was hardcore enough for him. Hopefully he saw the box on top of the toilet. I saw a picture of this from when you went there.
Yes, I have that picture, but I wasn't going to post it. I'll tell you, that's funny. So obviously the person asking either has trained there or is a regular there.
Yeah.
You know, here's the funny, I'm going to be completely honest with this, but you have to hear me out as I say this. It was surprising to see a Sharps box on the back of a toilet in a gym. I've been training for 35 years all over the country in some of the most hardcore gyms, and I admit I have not ever seen that before.
It's smart.
It really is, and I spoke to the guy, you know, about it, the owner, and super. I mean, the guy's just fucking super cool.
Yeah,
very accommodating. Yeah, he was great for with Melissa and I, you know, coming in and very supportive. Anyway,
that's cool.
I asked him about it, and you know, I didn't really know how to ask it because I didn't want to make it sound like, oh my god, like what the hell. But he made a good point. He goes, really, what is happening is people were putting them in the toilets, clogging the toilet. So we were constantly having to unclog the toilet, or they would put them in the trash and they'd be poking out of the trash, and
oh, you know,
the employee would get poked with them. So he goes, seriously, as soon as I put that box, because they didn't want to, but I put that box there, we don't have any problems anymore.
Damn.
And it was funny because I thought, you know, people who come in here who aren't hardcore are going to be like, oh my God, this is so. And then I thought to myself, good.
Yeah.
You don't like it? Some of the reviews for the place are horrible, and I just have to laugh. But they're horribly dumb. They're like, oh, this place is an absolute shithole. It's a ringworm fest waiting to happen. Some guy laid down on the bench with a tank top on and didn't even spray the bench off when he got it. I'm like, you need to take your sorry ass to fucking Orange Theory or something and train there, because you don't belong anywhere near this gym.
Yeah.
So, you know, you also have, because it's Miami, you have, you know, a little bit of gym war shit going on. So they
really?
Have a review. Yeah, they had one review that said that, oh, I was in there and someone was injecting trenbolone right in front of the mirror. And you just know first that that's fucking stupid.
Right. How'd you know it was trenbolone?
Never mind. That's what I was going to say. You don't know it's trenbolone. What the fuck? That's like, anybody who says that, it's like, at first you're a kid because someone would have just said steroids. So,
right.
You know, it has to be tren, right? And I will give them this. There is a Sharps box there. So, so they're at least getting their pre-workout, you know, insulin or IGF and things like that. I get it. You know, your no ester bullshit and stuff. But you know what? I hate to say it, you know, at the risk of sounding, you know, like I'm trying to be all, you know, toxically masculine here, but honestly, I fucking love the gym, and if it has a Sharps box on back, you know what? You're even more hardcore than the gyms I've trained at in 35 years before, so, you know, I'm cool with it.
That's cool, man. That's cool. What'd you train when you were there?
I only go down there for legs on Thursday nights right now. My wife, as cool as she is, and she's being, you know, we used to drive almost an hour one way to the gym every day in Colorado.
Damn, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was about 55 minutes, and that's if the weather was good because we live so far away. But but we had to drive almost an hour to everything, restaurants, grocery stores, dentists. So now that's part of the appeal and part of the draw of being here was we knew we were going to be urban, so we're 3 or 4 minutes away. And her argument is a good one. She's like, Ken, you really love Titan Gym. It's 3 minutes away.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know, I do love it, and everybody there is great. But the leg equipment and Miami Iron. So she was willing to give up one day for, and you have to understand, we don't get back till after midnight.
Oh, wow.
And she has to be up in the morning because she's got a regular job.
Yeah.
So there's that part of it too. So she's like, I'll go down there, but please don't let one day, you know, turn into three. And, you know, and I'm like, I won't. I promise you it'll just be legs. Or if I have a client in town and they want to hit a couple days down there, that would be the exception. And she agreed.
That's why you're married as long as you have been right there.
Yeah. I know.
One of many reasons, you know?
Well, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. That, and I'm incredible in bed. I mean, that is, you know, I mean, I think it stands to reason. It kind of goes without saying.
Yeah. We all assumed, you know?
Yeah. I understand that.
All right. Let's move on here. Longstern one. Hey guys, what's your thoughts on push pull legs versus bro splits? Specifically for arm development. That's an interesting twist there. He says, been on a push-pull legs split for years now. I'm sorry, for a year now. Strength gains have been very
big
good.
Big difference there, Scott.
Right. Strength gains have been really good, but I've made better strength gains following a bro split. However, when it comes to muscle gains, all the muscle groups have been growing nicely, except for my arms. My arms have not gained as much size as other body parts, and my arms are definitely lacking. Really do need to bring them up so they can match other body parts. My delts especially are overpowering them. I do all my training with progressive overload, logbook, everything, and trying to improve and beat book each session. But I have noticed my arms, that it just not working as well as other muscle groups. So for arms, I have been focusing more on execution, tempo, exercise selection, which definitely has helped out. However, just doing biceps and triceps at the end of pull or push day, I have a hard time giving my all when I've already busted my ass on previous bigger body parts with heavy weight. That being said, would you suggest trying a push-pull leg split, but with adding an arm day? Example, push-pull, rest, pull, arms, rest, repeat, or simply go about a bro split. Thanks. And thank you to Longstream One. Thanks, man, because this dude has been providing us a lot of questions, Skip, for all of our programs. He's obviously been a real active listener, so I appreciate you, buddy, very much so. In fact, if you're on social media, I've been wanting to reach out to you. Drop me a message at Scott McNally One on Instagram. I want to send you a t-shirt. So there's that.
Wait. I'd go to S2H first, but he's not here. So, zing. No. Okay. So, here's the short version first. The Cliff Notes answer: if your arms are weak, a push pull leg split or schedule is usually or typically not optimal. Now, here's the little caveat. And this matters quite a bit. That being said, it depends more on volume than it does really on intensity. And by that, I mean this. If you're doing something like a DC or a low volume, high intensity type of approach, it's probably that type of push-pull probably is not going to be as much of a negative. It can be more beneficial for arm growth than if it's higher volume. And the reason is you just simply run out of gas when you're running higher volume by the time you get to tries or biceps.
That makes
obviously they're pre-exhausted. Here's a couple things though of note, I think. people tend to think, well, you know, I wasn't able to go as heavy as I could with the direct tricep or direct bicep movements when I do push-pull. So therefore, I, you know, my arms aren't going to grow as well. I don't necessarily think that that's always the case, and I'll tell you why. I think a lot of people don't understand, excuse me, that a lot of arm development comes from the basic compound heavy movements when you push and pull that aren't direct work for triceps and biceps. As an example, you know, a 275-pound bench press is pretty fucking stressful on your triceps. And if you don't think so, don't train for 3 weeks and come back and just bench heavy and tell me if your triceps aren't crippled. Okay, they will be.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing when it comes to back. The only difference with back is you get more brachialis development with most back grips when you pull, because most people don't pull under grip. Okay, so if you're using a neutral or an overhand grip, that's more of a brachialis. So as an example, I also think that, you know, some people who do hammer curls for brachialis work, I don't even know that that's necessarily needed if you're doing heavy neutral grip pulling or overhand, you know, grip pulling as well. But it depends on, you know, your genetic, you know, makeup, whether it's a weak link, things like that. Yeah. I would say for the large majority of people who have weak arms, you're going to have an arm day. And I love that he asked this, because what he asked with the schedule is exactly what I do.
I'm no kidding.
And I do it for the reasons that he's having trouble now. My arms aren't a weak point. I'm lucky there.
No, your arms are. That was one of your standout body parts when I met you, by the way. Your arms really, they're definitely a focal point when you're just hanging out there, Skip. I gotta admit.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And it's through, honestly, it's through no work that I've done, or it's just, they're just better. And it's funny because the grass is always greener. It's like, okay, yeah, my arms are great. God, I wish that I had, you know, better shoulders or a fucking wider back, because I've got a horrible back. But anyway.
Well, dude, I have my shoulders stand out on me. But then, like, if we're both standing there in a T-shirt, you would never know. I have to be in a tank top in order to demonstrate that. You know what I mean? Gotcha. So, right. So you got the walking around effect going on.
See, my thing is my delts and back look really small when I stand next to someone who has any delts or back at all. If I just stand by myself, people are like, yeah, okay, it's not bad. No, so what had happened was, excuse me, I was just running out of gas because I train with a higher volume. So by the time I'm through chest and shoulders, there's really nothing left for tries. And when I say there's nothing left, I mean, I can sustain a pump, but it's just not. It's not good. So for me to actually feel like I'm not walking out of the gym just totally just blown, like, holy shit, like I just did, you know, 40 sets or 35 total working sets. Yeah. I cut it back. So as an example, I do chest and shoulders the first day. I do back, rear delts, and traps the second day. I take Wednesday off. I come back and train legs on Thursday, and then I do arms and calves on Friday, because I don't train calves with legs. It's, for me, it's just too much. Okay. So I think that if in his particular situation, that might not be a bad idea. It would probably work to his benefit. But he mentioned a lot of the information with his training, with the split and things like that. But I didn't hear anything about total volume. I think there was an implication of high intensity. So if his volume isn't very high, well, here's the thing. It doesn't really matter. What he is saying is he's running out of gas. He's not able to give it that same oomph. The only other thing I would say was he seemed to say or imply that his shoulders were really good.
Yeah.
So I don't know that he couldn't, there couldn't be like maybe a chest try shoulder type thing, because, and the reason for that would be, you know, you think, oh, doing shoulders after triceps. But if his shoulders are that good, he probably doesn't need to press anyway, which a lot of people don't need to press, which is weird because, you know, being from the 80s, everybody overhead pressed. And then we got into the later 90s and the 2000s, and then it was this big trend to not do so because everybody realized, whether it was studies or things like that, a lot of anterior delt development is coming from chest, and especially incline chest movements. So That is not to say that it's not needed. I think that some, but as an example, most people can train anterior delts or overhead pressing every 2 to 3 weeks instead of every week, because sometimes that can get in the way. Just like he's saying, maybe he does a lot of anterior, maybe he does a lot of overhead pressing. And then all of a sudden his shoulders are so overpowering his chest. And if you get shoulders that overpower your chest, I don't want to go on another tangent here, but if you have shoulders that overpower your chest, good luck trying to bring your chest up.
Oh, it took me forever, man.
Oh, yeah. It takes a lot. And your mechanics have to be so perfect. Not that they shouldn't be anyway, but they have to be perfect. You have to tweak every exercise you're doing to make sure that you're locked into your pecs. Because if you're not, and if those shoulder blades aren't locked together and pulled back, trying to get your delts out of that movement, or the incline is too high, you know, if you've got strong delts, your incline shouldn't be anywhere. I don't think it should be anything past 30 degrees ever. I just, as soon as you get to 45, good luck trying to keep your delts out of that incline movement. But anyway,
I can't remember what you said. You said something to me. I did an incline dumbbell press, and you said you made some comment about my bench because it was a very high incline. Do you remember that? It was like a month or so ago.
Yeah, I think I was saying, oh, nice shoulder press, or I don't know, something sarcastic.
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because for me, and especially being so narrow-shouldered, oh, shit, man. I mean, as soon as I get to that 45-degree angle, I can't even do or rarely do incline barbell rows or incline Smith rows. I can do Smith a little bit easier, but I'm telling you, I just pretty much almost gave up on incline barbell presses because the average everyday typical incline bench is too high to begin with, and it is such a huge anterior delt movement that, man, good luck trying to nail your, you know, your upper chest without destroying your front delts.
I figured something out and I don't know how to explain it, but I can feel the weight. I can feel the tension as I'm holding it in my hands. I feel it like kind of resting across the top of my chest. And I'm pressing it. For some reason, it's working for me. So I'm not asking any questions. I'm just going with it.
Yeah. Hey, I always say the same thing. If you don't, like, if something works for you, even though it doesn't for the other, you know, or work that well for the other 90%, fuck, run with it. Hell yeah.
So I got something I want to add in here. So my arms are not, they're not like, I don't have the genetics like you do for arms whatsoever. And it's always been an uphill battle for me. I started seeing my best arm growth a year or so ago, and I was pushing what I thought was heavier dumbbells because I'd always, you know, kept it to the point where it was like moderate weight and I was squeezing. And everybody says that. Everybody with good arms tells me, like, you don't need to curl a lot to have good biceps. But their version of not curling a lot was different than my version of not curling a lot. So I've just tried to increase the weight to keep up with you, what you say is not a lot, but for me it is a lot. But here's the thing, I've gone to the push-pull legs thing, and in that time, I found that my arms have shrank. So I don't know whether this is going to do me any good. Maybe I should go more to what you're doing, Skip. But with my push-pull legs, I'm only taking a day off usually, or when I need, really. I just do push-pull legs repeat, and I take a day off after 3 days, maybe again after another two, but I just keep on that circuit, push-pull legs, day off whenever I need it. What I'll usually do is the first round of push-pull legs is going to be like real chest focused, real back focused. And then when I go back through, if I feel like I really tore it up and it was just, you know, 4 or 5 days ago, then instead of going like real chest focused, I still hit chest pretty good, but I'll cut it a little bit short. And then I go more for the shoulders, more for the triceps. Whereas I didn't have that juice left in the tank last time because I was working as hard as I could, tearing chest up. You know what I mean? So that second time around, it's like every other time I try to put a little bit more into arms than I would have, kind of thing.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I did get stuck on the fact that I think you used the word shrank, but I'm not sure.
No, they shrank.
I don't know. I was like, shrank. Did he say shrink or did he say shrank?
Shrank. Is shrank not a word?
I was thinking about that. I'm like, I didn't want to get stuck on it. I was laughing to myself going, shrinking. Pay attention to what he's saying. Pay attention to what he's saying. Because I was like, shrank. He said shrank. I don't know. I want to say it's not. Well, but no. If they shrank, did they shrank? I think they shrunk.
They shrunk?
But.
Yeah, I guess they shrunk.
Maybe, I'll tell you what, it shrink. Could be real word. that is not used very often, and you would totally get me.
Yeah, my arms shrank. My arms shrunk. I think you might be right about that. Hold on, let's see. I'm going to look it up.
Now, as you were saying, this is one of those things where he'll have to, much like the difference between you and I, he'll have to figure that out based on and run with the option that works the best for his arms. One more thing I will add too is this. When I'm on a true push pull and I do not have as high a volume and I train tries and buys later after, like in those workouts after, I never ever have any tricep tendon issues. I never have any tendonitis. I never have any inflammation. But damn, when I come in and I train just arms and calves, I have to warm the shit out of my arms. And sometimes we'll start with biceps for that reason instead of triceps, because then I cannot do exercises like lying tricep extensions. People call them skull crushers. I can't do those like with an easy curl bar because they irritate my tricep tendons, but I can do them all day long if I'm doing them for triceps after chest and shoulders because they're so warm.
That makes sense.
Yep. So if you do have any type of, you know, itis or you shrink. Know, ache pains when it, yeah.
If you're experiencing shrink.
If you're worried about them triceps shrinking, then you definitely want to keep, because you have a lower, I call it less vulnerability. You have a lower potential for vulnerability there, which means a lower risk of injury to elbows and things like that if you're doing tries and buys after your push and pull. So again, it's play. It's everybody's different. Some people, and if you're dieting, it could be different too. As an example, if you're going to do arms the day after legs and it's going to be your last workout of the week and you're dieting and you're in a caloric deficit, you know, you might be dragging a little ass on Friday. Now I would say that it would be better to train smaller muscle groups like arms when you're dragging an ass versus trying to train legs or chest or shoulders or whatever. Sure. But if his shoulders are so good, then maybe that should be his Friday, you know, workout, and his arms should come earlier in the week. Maybe you want to open with arms on Monday and you want to go to legs on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then you want to come to, you know, back on Thursday and then train chest and shoulders on Friday because your shoulders are so good. Yeah. You know, that's certainly a possibility too. Most would say, well, that goes against, you know, you're training secondary muscle groups first. Well, they're a weakness.
Yeah.
So again, it would be individual, but there's some options there, and exercise selection is obviously a big deal. But we could go on for an hour about that, especially when it comes to triceps, because if you're just going to pound medial and outer head and you're not going to, you know, do long head tricep work, then you're missing out on a third of your tricep size. But at the same time, that long head makes up a lot of, how do I explain this? Without long head, good long head development, you lose almost that third dimension.
Oh yeah,
to your tricep size. So, but that's for another. You know, that's another discussion in itself.
So Webster's dictionary says shrink, the past tense of shrink.
Damn. Okay, you got me.
But you got me. But once you said shrunk, then I'm thinking, well, wait, maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe I should have said shrunk.
Well, no, here's the thing, though, and this sounds like I'm, you know, justifying it, like, oh, my God, but sometimes things are correct. They're technically correct, and it sounds like that is correct. If it's there, it's correct. But there's also, it's difficult when it's correct, but it's no longer a popular usage of the word, so it's not used in conversation. So then when you use it, here's an example. You were right, but it was so much on my brain that I was having to force myself to pay attention to what you were actually saying because I was trying to figure out if it was right or not. Now, everybody's not a grammar Nazi like I am. I get that.
Are you a grammar Nazi? Well, you're a writer, so that makes sense.
Yeah, you know what it is, though? And that's a big part of it, don't get me wrong. But it's because I'm not college educated. I mean, I have like 12 credits to my name. And okay. I've always told my kids this, and I think this is really important, especially in this day and age with texting and email. Everything is in text. You don't have to be incredibly articulate and incredibly educated to come across as such.
This is
all
true.
You have to do is pay attention to your grammar, your word usage, your sentence structure, your punctuation. And if you're not that smart, people will not know you're not that smart. And on the flip side, and this is important, when you are educated and you are very smart and you're intelligent and you're articulate and you've got a college degree and you don't care, or you say you don't care about those things, you're going to come across to other people, because a lot of people are like me. They catch those things and I immediately judge you as, oh my God, like, you seriously didn't know that a comma went there? Like, what the fuck? That's so rudimentary. So, you know, you're going to be judged on it. This day and age, you're going to be judged. And so much of our communication is in text. So
I think maybe, you know what? I've got my Midwest accent kicking and we're really nasally on the A's. So maybe it was the way I said it.
Well, that's why I say I couldn't tell if you said shrank or shrink. I mean, I wasn't sure, but I knew you didn't say shrunk.
All right. I'm going to move on to Jakey B, 1986. He says, programming workouts 101. So long for some information. So looking for some information on the best way to program, with everyone trying to reinvent the wheel lately. For a hype. How did you say it? The hypertrophy? For hypertrophy? Yeah.
There or you go, hypertrophy.
Whichever. You said that on Superhuman, which I thought was funny. You said you knew, though. You were like, that's the way you read it, right? Hypertrophy.
Well, and Carl said the same thing. He wanted to pronounce it that way for a long time, too. And I did. I pronounced it for that way forever and went hypertrophy. You're just making up shit. That's not how that's said. Anyway.
Now I can't say it. For hypertrophy. We know rep ranges usually are going to be in the 6 to 12 of 65% upwards to one rep max for normally 2 to 4 sets per body part. Some people preach progressive overload as the main driver, while others preach volume as a driver for hypertrophy. I get in the gym 3 times a week and follow a push-pull legs routine, hitting 2 working sets per exercise for a minimum of 6+ reps, as heavy as I can go, with proper control to failure for both sets, usually 3 exercises per muscle group. I'm trying to get the best bang for my buck. So what's your favorite way to program a push-pull legs routine in terms of reps and weight targets? A lot of push-pull legs, Skip. Trying to fit my routine into 1.5-hour slots each time I train, which when doing push can be tricky, chest, shoulders, and triceps, or back when needing a decent amount of rest between my heavy sets. Cheers, guys, from across the pond. Still not missed a show. Thank you, Jakey.
Yeah, that's right.
Badass,
awesome,
actually.
Awesome, thanks, exactly. Man. With the time limitation at 1.5 hours for a push-pull like that, trying to cover basically, it's 3 muscle groups, chest, shoulders, and tris. And you're not just covering 3 muscle groups. You know, when it comes to shoulders, there's angles there. I mean, side delt, front delt, rear delt. I tend to push and recommend pushing rear delts with back because they fit together. They're used during almost all of your rowing movements anyway. So, you know, if you happen to train, as an example, rear delts with delts the day before you train back, you're probably going to feel your rear delts just being destroyed and burning and on fire. It could be limiting when it comes to your rowing strength. Could be limiting for the larger muscles of your back. So take that into consideration as well. But the point is even without rear delts, you still have side and front to contend with, and you have chest and triceps. So it's difficult to go very high volume unless you're just, really what it comes down to is time in between sets. You know, you're going to have a pretty quick cadence or a pretty quick pace if you're going to, bang away at a lengthy, push-pull like that. So other factors to take into consideration are how long does it take you to warm up? You know, myself, it takes me a lot longer to warm up than most people. It might take me 15, sometimes 20 minutes to get fully warm before I'm at my top working set, ready to start a muscle group. So there's 20 minutes of your 1.5 hours. So, there are just some factors or some variables in there that are going to be individual that you have to work out. But the rep range is tough. Here's what I'm going to say about the rep range. Everybody's different in the sense that 6 to 8 repetitions is something that I did for years and years and years, because when I was a teenager, you have to understand, those were the Lee Haney years, and that rep range was king then. I mean, that's what he espoused, that's what he, and people of that era, you know, 6 to 8 rep range, predominantly, stimulate, don't annihilate, you know, all those cliche terms from that. What I would say is this, I wouldn't get locked into and be, I think people are too black and white when it comes to rep ranges and X amount of sets. I mean, there are times where I go in and I think, okay, I'm going to be in this neighborhood, you know, of working sets for chest. But if things don't feel right and I feel like I need a couple extra sets or I've got more in the tank,
yeah,
I'm going to do more work. I mean, I'm going to flex that out and give myself room to kind of tweak it, you know, as I go based on how I feel. So rep ranges, I think, shouldn't be locked in and shouldn't be black and white either. And I think that if you get locked into them, you're going to limit your growth and your progress. So 6 to 8 rep, it's, I do believe it's difficult to really destroy a muscle group in a set at only 6 or 7 reps, unless you can also, with that same exercise, hit, you know, an exercise of whether it be 10 to 12 or, you know, 8 to 10 or whatever. So I like to cover all my bases. And one thing I have started doing within the last few years, and I started doing it because I thought it was safer, mm-hmm. it was a better option, is getting to my top work set after my warm-up, starting there and almost trying to stay there with the first set getting in the, you know, 10, 12, 13 reps in there, and then allowing fatigue to bring my repetition range down, but staying at the same weight. So yeah, that maybe on the 3rd and 4th set, I'm down into that 6 to 8 rep range. It's safer. And I've covered now 6 to 8 reps, potentially 8 to 10, 10 to 12, that sort of thing. So it's not just that one rep range. And opening at 6 to 8 reps, I do believe that that is dangerous. That is fucking heavy.
Yeah.
To just open. I understand you're warm, but you're not. You know what I mean? You're warm, but you're not as warm as you are after 3 or 4 working sets.
No, I'm with you. It's tough, or it could take you forever to warm up to that, you know? Like,
right.
Exactly. Like with the DC stuff, and it was, you know, the more I've tried to do work like Scott Stevenson does with just like one all out set, it could take me, like you said, 20 minutes just to warm up to my first set.
Right. Now the other option is, and there's a million different ways to do this, but I'll give you one more option. That is, let's say you have 3, for, just as an arbitrary number to make my point, 3 chest exercises. The first exercise you go and you want to stay in the same rep range of, you know, say 12 to 15 or 10 to 12. The next exercise you're in that 10 to 12 or 9 to 12. And then maybe for the last exercise, then you jump down or you've dropped down into that, you know, 6 to 8 or, you know, 7 to 10 rep. You're in that lower rep range. And again, and I know a lot of my answers come back to vulnerability and the potential for injury. And I'm sorry, but that's my demographic. And even if you're not in my demographic, it's still a smart thing to do for a longevity perspective when it comes to joints and potential for injury and that sort of thing. Especially the fact that the guy pointed out, and a lot of studies are showing this now, you don't have to train ridiculously heavy to be able to maximize hypertrophy. We all want to train our asses off, and we should all be training as hard as we can train to maximize hypertrophy. But at the same time, you're going to get hypertrophy or hypertrophy by not potentially training. So it could be argued based on studies that, you know, a 225-pound bench at, you know, 11 or 12 rep sets is going to be just as productive as a 270 or 295 pound bench at, you know, 6 or 7 reps. But which one is going to injure you or put you in a more vulnerable position? It's going to be that heavier. I said before a million times, and then I'll end with this. The high intensity is not what causes a large majority of issues. It does if you break form and your mechanics suck. Mm. It's the heavy weight that causes most of the injuries. Now, you can talk about not warming up properly or whatever. Okay, that's fine. But injuries still happen when you warm up perfectly, and they happen because of heavy weight. The muscle and tendon connections cannot handle the workload. Mm. The intensity is not what causes the large amount of injuries.
All right, I'm gonna have to remember that myself. I get scared, man. You know, I get scared because I'm not getting any younger. I start thinking to myself as things are getting really hard, and I feel that tension in the muscle. You know, and I kind of do. I think something similar to you. You know who I think of that has helped me a lot is the way John Meadows trains. You know how you were talking about, like, you're not gonna just go in there and do skull crushers out the gate. He'll start with an exercise. We'll say like a cable. We'll say like a cable push down, for instance.
Right.
You're not going to rip your elbows up with that. And he'll go, you know, a little bit higher rep range, 12 to 15. And then he goes to the next exercise being like the skull crushers, which I think that's worked well for me, you know, to be able to get in there and then hit that heavier, more compoundy feeling exercise.
That's a lot of what I'm doing myself. I make them into a chest workout, start with cable flies.
Yeah.
And maximize range of motion and get that primary muscle group, that prime mover, as warm as possible. And he's also, not only is it warm and the tendons are warm and that sort of thing, but now when he moves to his compound exercise, you arguably don't need as much weight to get the same, and you're not going to be able to use as much weight probably because that muscle, the prime mover, is going to be more fatigued. So you're going to get arguably the same response with a little bit less weight. And when you get into a little bit less weight, you get into less vulnerability for injury. Mm-hmm. So I could not agree more. But what's going to happen is you're going to have on the other side of the coin, you're going to have people argue and say, well, wouldn't it be better over time for growth to be able to come in fresh and bench 315 for 10 instead of doing cable flies first and bench only 275 for 8? And my argument would be, I would say, prove it. Mm. Prove that it's not the same, because that's where we get tied up in these black and white numbers where, oh, well, shit, well, I'm doing more reps with more weight here because I'm fresh. You're leaving out this entire variable of the fact that you just fried and pre-exhausted that muscle group and you only dropped from 315 to 275 and you maybe even were doing the same reps. I don't know, but let's argue and say you lose two reps. You're losing two reps. If you're training to failure, you're training to fail. That's an incredible stimulus. You can't do anymore. And the reason that weight and rep range or reps for that set was knocked down was for no other reason than the muscle was pre-exhaust. So I'm going to say my response is there is no difference. In fact, I would argue and say that the compound movement might be better after the isolation movement, even though it's less weight and less reps, because you're going to fail due to the chest failing. That's going to be much more likely than the shoulders or your secondary muscle groups failing at the same time. How many people will miss a bench press at 315 for 10 reps when they're fresh out of the gate because their triceps can't handle lockout? That's a very big possibility. But if you're pre-exhausting, that's not usually going to happen. And remember, we're not in a numbers game directly. We're just using them to gauge and assess our progress. We're in a development game.
Yeah.
So it's just completely different. It's bodybuilding versus powerlifting. That's why we bench differently. That's why elbows are different. Grips are different. And it's not as important, though it still plays a part. It's not as important the amount of weight we're pushing.
I like what you're talking about. I never thought of that before when you were talking about sticking with the same amount of weight. And then by the third set, you're more fatigued. So maybe you got 10 to 12 the first set. Third set, you're only getting 6. So now you're working, you know, a higher rep range and a lower rep range. I've never thought of that before.
And I think it's important to note, too. And I assume that failure is – I am a failure guy. If I'm not going to train to failure and you have to pull the bar off of my chest, which usually doesn't happen, my failure is I'm going to go, and when I lock out that last rep, I know full well I'm going to eat the next one. Some people argue and will say, oh, you can't know that because the mind, if you play by – bitch, I've been doing this shit for 35 years. I know when I'm not going to come out of the hole again.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm racking it. That to me is still failure because I know I don't have another one. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So that with what I was saying was staying at the same weight and going backwards like that with the rep ranges, you do have to factor in that it's not just, oh, I did 10 to 12 racket. and then say, because if it's not to failure, if it's not an all out set, then you're not going to have the fatigue, and you could probably sit there and just bang the same reps every time. I mean, that's a no brainer. Some people don't agree and don't think that training to failure is necessary. And if that's the case, because you looked at a bunch of studies, go for it. Mm. But I have a feeling that unless you're genetically predisposed to being big, I think you're going to have a hard time getting bigger with not going at 100%.
Yeah.
I do. I really believe that. And if you want to stick with that, I mean, I guess go ahead. But I've been in this game a long time. And the people that I see who train hard, that's why I always said, I might not be the guy who's training the hardest in the gym, but that's my fucking goal. I'm not going to train the heaviest. That's for damn sure. My poundages are never going to make people go, oh, wow, that's fucking impressive. He's strong. It has never happened, and it never will. Hmm. But I do want people to look at me and go, this motherfucker, he might not be crazy, but he is going to a place where I'm not sure I want to go, and not a lot of other motherfuckers go either. That to me, because then I can walk out of the gym, and if I'm not the biggest motherfucker in there and I'm not growing that well, my conscience is still good, because I'm like, you know what? I'm busting my fucking nuts.
Yeah, you did everything you could.
Exactly. I did everything I could. I left it in there. Now it's time to go home and recover. That's how I've always approached it. You can call it old school, whatever, but go into any gym, go into an Armbrust. I could go into Miami Iron Gym. I can go into all these hardcore badass gyms. And if you pick 10 people out of there and watch them train, probably only two of them are really going balls out. Mm. And I can't stand to see somebody end a set. And then I'm thinking, especially if your ass fucking training with me, or I'll tell you, you had three more. Why'd you stop? I'm not talking about pulling three out of your fucking ass like you got to break form and everything else.
Yeah.
I'm saying you had three more. Why did you stop? To me, that's a fucking waste. You go until you fucking cannot go again. That's how I always have approached it. And I believe that that is going to provide more growth and more progress, provided that you're able to recover from it. I get that. And people will argue, CNS, whatever. Then you just don't go as high a volume. You can train intensely, keep your volume down, and you can continue to recover and not drive your CNS into the ground. But this is only an hour and a half show, and we could talk about that forever.
Yeah. We have a few more questions, but we are out of time. We'll save them for the next episode. Plus, we had some blood work stuff, so it'll be good to get S2H back in on that one. Guys, go to the forum. We're taking all our questions from forum.advicesradio.com. In the bodybuilding section, there are threads for all the shows. They're stickied at the top. We're in the blood, sweat, and gear thread, but we've got threads for muscle minds and clinical muscle, as well as drugs and stuff. So guys, let's keep the content rolling. I appreciate everybody listening. Appreciate everybody who's using the code advices. And I guess the code skip, you guys can use the skip code if you want. Guess that works. Skip did invent the Team Skip protein blend after all. But nonetheless, man, are you training today?
I am. I don't know if my wife is. She's having a lot of lower back issues. She's got a horrible cough that is not going away. She's had it for about a month. Anyway.
That blows, man.
Yeah, but enough about her. Anyway, back to me. I'm going to train chest and shoulders tonight. Hopefully she's going to be in there with me, but she did imply that she may have to take the day off and make that day up in a couple days. I don't know that she will. We'll just have to see. I don't want her to go in and be, and when I say miserable, I mean to the point where she was having a hard time even getting comfortable lying down.
Yeah.
Because her back is so, you know, she turns her, puts her chin into her neck or chin into her chest, and it pulls through her back. So there's something going on there. We'll have to figure it out.
Yeah. Sometimes it's better to rest, right?
Yeah, you know, it is, until it impacts my training. Then it's like, you know what? You should probably just not be selfish and get in there and train with me.
Well, if I was there, I'd join you, man, because I'm going to do the same thing today. It's a push day, chest, shoulders, tricep. Although last push day was real chest focused, so I'm probably going to do a little bit more tricep focus this time around.
Nice.
All right, guys, for another episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear with Skip Hill, go to teamskip.com. Check out the message board, Intense Muscle. Guys, we'll see you soon. Thanks, Skip.
I've had the worst day, and we don't really have the money in the first place. And in the morning, gotta be up so early. Gotta do a work thing. Yo, you can put that on my surname on stage with a shirt stain. Never been a sure thing, but I always love the way the herb tastes. Always hate the thirst made. Love my edges perforated. Driving to the third place is work day. I know I never learn, but I earn wage. Got no time to work out, so I'll turn shape. Ran a lap since Thursday, December 8th, 2013. I'm trying to get those Nina Toe and Bird plays. I want it in the worst way. It's Bernstein, not Bernstein. Yeah, yeah, I know I have trouble learning names. Burning like the muzzle of a 38. Rough like the trade on your dirty face. Perfect day, surging with imperfect rage. Nuremberg the place.
At Voices Radio Network.